Okay, so welcome back to this episode of the Private Pilot Podcast. I've got something very special lined up for you at the end of the show. I went to the AOPA fly-in, an expo, I guess, this past weekend, June 2nd, and I had a chance to interview Eric Lindbergh, the grandson of Charles Lindbergh, so I'm going to have that for you at the end of the show. Before I get to that, though, I'm going to give you a little bit of brief information on an instrument flight that I did, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of history, specifically on the Spirit of St. Louis, which is the airplane that Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic. So, the instrument flight that I did was actually the very first instrument lesson I ever had. It was kind of cool. We flew out of Chester County, and we flew into Wilmington, and it was IFR. It was actual instrument conditions. So my very first instrument lesson, I had the privilege of flying in the clouds. If you've never done it before, it is a fascinating, fascinating thing to do. It's actually kind of cool, and I almost like it more than I like actually flying under the foggles, because it seems it's more real. I think it's a better learning experience. By far, it's a better learning experience. I highly recommend it to anyone who's going for their instrument rating. Talk to your instructor. Tell them you want to go up in actual conditions. I think it will make you a better pilot at the end of the day. It most certainly makes me feel like a better pilot, having done it once. Obviously, I haven't done nearly enough. I only have half an hour of actual instrument conditions. But I've already told my instructor that he's not signing me off until I have at least five. So by the time I'm done with my training, I'll have at least 5 hours of instrument conditions, actual instrument conditions, and I think it will make me a better pilot. Anyways, so I'm going to take a really short break here, go pick up a cough drop, and when I come back, I will tell you a little bit about the Spirit of St. Louis. So stay tuned, and talk to you in a bit. So I am back, and as promised, I'm going to give you a little bit of history about the Spirit of St. Louis, and then we're going to move on to the two interviews that I did at the AOPA fly-in. The Spirit of St. Louis was the airplane which Charles Lindbergh used to fly to the Atlantic. I mean, fly across the Atlantic, sorry. He flew from Roosevelt Airfield in Long Island, New York, and touched down at La Bourget Airfield, or Aerodrome at that time, in Paris, France. Now, Eric Lindbergh recreated this flight, and actually took off from, I believe it was Republic, and flew to La Bourget. Charles made the flight in 33 hours, 30 minutes, and 29.8 seconds, for anyone who's really counting those little seconds. The aircraft is officially known as the Ryan November Yankee Papa NYP, and was designed by Donald Hall of Ryan Airlines. Basically, it was a redesign of the Ryan M2. It was actually loosely based on the Ryan M2. The entire empennage area is pretty much a copy of it. The one thing that they did change was that the wings were considerably larger. The wingspan was increased by 10 feet to create a surface area that was large enough to lift the 450 gallons of fuel along with the lone pilot and minimum gear. So, one of the things that Charles Lindbergh wanted was he believed that the more engines a plane had, the greater possibility of engine failure. And it's a running joke in aviation that if you have a multi-engine airplane and your one engine fails, the second engine will get you to your crash site. So, he felt that taking one single engine was better for this flight. The cockpit on this airplane was very small. It was 94 centimeters by 81 centimeters long, and only 130 high. It was actually so small that Charles Lindbergh could not stretch his legs out. It was powered by a 23 horsepower air-cooled 9-cylinder Wright J5C Whirlwind engine. And was rated for a maximum operating time of 9,000 hours. He was convinced that this specific engine stood the best chance of winning the Ortigue Prize, which is the prize that was set up for completion of a transatlantic flight. Specifically, the Ortigue Prize was a $25,000 reward offered in 1919 by Raymond Ortigue to the first Allied aviators to fly nonstop from New York to Paris or vice versa. It was renewed in 1924. It was only offered for 5 years. It was renewed in 1924 when aviation technology had advanced to the point where numerous competitors could try out for the prize. There were many people who tried out for it, and I'll probably go into that at a later podcast. So one of the other things that Lindbergh had with him was a special compass. This compass was known as an earth inductor compass, and it was the plane's primary instrument. And what it did was it actually allowed Lindbergh to compensate and account for the magnetic deviation of the earth. The original estimate for the flight was about 40 hours, and obviously it took a little bit less than that. When he had completed the flight, Lindbergh also flew the Spirit of St. Louis to Belgium and England before President Coolidge finally sent a Navy cruiser to bring both him and the airplane back to the United States. He then flew the Spirit of St. Louis on a promotional goodwill tour across the U.S. and Latin America. The final flight of the Spirit of St. Louis took place on April 30th, 1928, which was when Charles Lindbergh flew from Balling Field in Washington, flew from St. Louis to Balling Field in Washington, D.C., where the historic aircraft was presented to the Smithsonian Institute. Now, if you go to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., not the annex in Dulles, but the actual one in Washington, D.C., you can see the original Spirit of St. Louis. It is suspended from the roof of the main atrium on the same side as the Bell X-1 and Spaceship One. So that's where it is now. There is a replica of the Spirit of St. Louis built for the 1957 film known as The Spirit of St. Louis, starring James Stewart. That one is on display in the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan. So that's the Spirit of St. Louis. Now I'm going to give you a few seconds of break here, and then I'm going to come back with some sound and interviews that I did at the AOPA Expo. So stay tuned, and keep listening.
Such as helping our kids get ground school through SOHO. Okay, so you take them all the way up through their solo flights, or you take them all the way up through their private license, or how does that work?
AOPA has graciously offered to help our kids get all the way through their solo flights.
Okay, so if they're going to go further, they have to attach themselves to a flight school, or...?
That's correct, and we have other flight clubs in the area that we've been coordinating with to help kids find ways to advance their career and finish up their whole certification process.
Okay, now you guys are located where exactly?
We're located, we meet at the AOPA International Headquarters in Frederick, Maryland, every other Monday night from 7 to 9.
Okay, so every other Monday night from 7 to 9, if you're between what ages again?
The ages of 14 and 19.
So between the ages of 14 and 19, if you want to start your flying career, learn how to fly, get more information, come on down to Frederick, Maryland, and Chris here can hook you up.
That's correct. And if you care to reach us, you can reach me at my personal line, 301-831-9947. My son Justin is the president of the local chapter, and we'd be happy to let you know what weeks we meet. Next meeting is scheduled for the 4th of June here at AOPA headquarters.
All right, excellent. Well, hopefully this will be up by the 4th of June, but I can't promise it. If not, it will be up shortly thereafter, and they can just get in touch with you guys to find out when the meetings are.
All right, great. We appreciate your support.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay, so once again, I'm back with you. I figured that before I go on and actually put my interview with Eric Lindberg on, I would give you a very brief biography on him, because we didn't really go into that in the interview itself, aside from incredibly brief information. So this is actually taken from charleslindberg.com, and it's his biography listed on that. He's a commercial pilot and certified flight instructor, and you'll hear all about that. And in 2002... on the 75th anniversary of his grandfather's Spirit of St. Louis transatlantic flight, Eric Lindberg recreated it. He leads an active lifestyle. I'm basically reading straight from it here for you. Though he leads an active lifestyle, Eric also suffers from rheumatoid arthritis, a progressive autoimmune disease marked by pain, tenderness, and inflammation of the joints that nearly caused him to give up his passion for aviation when he was diagnosed at the young age of 21. RA crippled Eric for 15 years, and only recently has he been active again. During the worst years with RA, Eric was forced to use a cane due to severe pain that made it almost impossible for him to walk. Today, with the help of a breakthrough biotech drug, Enbrel, Eric has his life back and is in pursuit of his dreams. Using his experience with the rheumatoid arthritis, he now serves as a spokesperson for the Arthritis Foundation, working to educate others about rheumatoid arthritis. He's a graduate of Emory College, where he received his aeronautical science degree, and now serves as a trustee and vice president of the XPRIZE Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization that stimulates the creation of a new generation of launch vehicles designed to carry passengers into space. The XPRIZE was fashioned after the Ortiz Prize, which was the prize that, as I mentioned earlier, Charles Lindbergh won for flying across the Atlantic. Now, some of you may remember that the XPRIZE was won, I believe it was, a year ago, with Spaceship One finally meeting the requirements for launching that had been set up under the XPRIZE rules. So anyways, I wanted to give you that. I also want to give you brief information, the fact that you can go to www.flycolumbia.com. That's Columbia Aircraft. Columbia Aircraft is the aircraft. The Columbia 300 is actually the aircraft specifically that Eric flew across the Atlantic. So anyways, without further ado, let me give you a brief glimpse into the life of Eric Lindberg and some information on Project Pilot.
Okay, so welcome back again to the Private Pilot Podcast. I'm sitting here with Eric Lindberg, who is the grandson of Charles Lindberg?
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, grandson of Charles and Ann Morrow Lindberg, who was also a pilot.
Okay. So you are the, I guess, the spokesperson, the main driving force behind the AOPA's Project Pilot. Could you tell us a little bit about Project Pilot?
Well, Project Pilot is an amazing program with AOPA where we link up, or you link up, we encourage you to link up, pilots with prospective students. Because students who are getting their private pilot ticket have a much higher chance of achieving solo and their certificate if they have a mentor to talk to about the little things that aren't necessarily addressed by their instructor, because that's a student-teacher relationship. It's really, really beneficial to have a mentor who can tell you about what it's like to talk to an airport tower or find information. Where do you find information? How do you get over the fear of talking on the radio, saying something wrong? Well, we all say something wrong. It's just how you deal with it. And for me, the best way is, sorry, this is what I meant. And just speak like you normally speak. You'll get better and better at it with time. And they understand.
Okay, so how did Project Pilot come about for you?
Well, it's interesting because I actually benefited from a mentor before Project Pilot was even in effect. And this was a buddy of mine who, when I was 24 years old, just wouldn't stop talking about flying. He said, flying this, flying that. He loved it. He got this videotape. Check this out. Watch this. Cool. And here I am, a Lindbergh. I thought it would be really obvious to become a pilot, but it wasn't. And there was no pressure in my family, no encouragement, and in fact, it was probably a tougher thing to become a pilot, because that's what my grandfather was known for. How could you live up to that sort of thing? Once I gave in, I got so annoyed by him, I gave in. Like, all right, I'll go take a flight. When I did, I just got it. This is cool. And then in the process of getting my private license, I realized I could probably do what my flight instructor was doing if I had more training. So I went on and got my commercial certificate, flight instructor rating, and that's what got me into all this trouble.
Okay. So now with Project Pilot, I'm guessing that came about after you recreated your grandfather's flight across the Atlantic.
Yes. Yeah, in 2002, I flew, retraced his flights from San Diego to St. Louis, St. Louis to New York, and New York to Paris. That long leg was a 17-hour, 7-minute leg in a Columbia 300, which is a small, single-engine, state-of-the-art composite aircraft. So I did it in half the time that grandfather did, but I ate twice as much food.
Now, was that I'm guessing that was an enjoyable flight for you, or stressful, or a little bit of both?
You know, the flight itself was an amazing mission. It wasn't as stressful as some of the training flights I took, and that's kind of something I can pass on to students. We often stress ourselves out. We can get in our own way in terms of taking on stress, and I had some high-stress moments training, flying all around the country, and getting into some situations that, in hindsight, I would have turned around. And that's a part of the learning process. But I realized during those flights that if I could survive this and make all the right decisions, as I apparently did, then the flight across the Atlantic would be easy. Or, you know, it wasn't easy. It was a long flight. But it really went off without too many hitches. And they were all things that you can cope with. And really, in general, anything that can happen to you in an airplane is something you can cope with. Unless your wings fall off and you don't have a parachute, and that almost never happens. Almost never.
That's why I still don't fly helicopters.
Well, yeah, a helicopter might. It doesn't, you know, they're getting more and more reliable too.
Right.
But aircraft, you know, there are all kinds of problems happen, and we do the wrong communication thing with the tower every so often. I still do it. And it isn't that you make mistakes, it's how you deal with them. And so it's very important to sit and think about it for a second when you realize you made a mistake, and think about what the best answer to that is. How do I move forward? What do I do? And there's almost always a way out, if you don't freak out and get in your own way and make problems worse.
Right. Now, as a flight instructor, what would be the number one piece of advice you would give to a new student?
Get a mentor. Because your flight instructor is a human, and they can only teach you from their point of view. They'll try and get it, you know, give it to you in a way that is meaningful. But they can't do everything. And it's helpful to have a relationship with somebody who can tell you practical matters and things. That's not an instructor relationship. Plus, your mentor probably isn't charging you by the hour and might even take you out for a beer.
Okay, so from a perspective of mentors, what is the, the spokesperson for Project Pilot, what is the number one thing that you would tell a mentor who's mentoring a student?
For those that are pilots out there, you got it. You got the juice. You understand what it is to fly, to discover things from the air, to see the overview perspective, looking down at your house and discovering something you didn't know because you don't notice it when you're walking around. You got the magic. Pass that magic on to somebody else. It has changed my life, and it's changed tons of people's lives all around the planet. People who fly are extraordinary, and they live a charmed life, I think. And once you get it, you'll do anything to continue. It's been one of the greatest factors in my life.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for taking these few minutes and talking to me. And I guess keep flying. And are there any last words you want to give to the people listening in on this?
Oh, just I think that it's very important that we keep the pilot population from shrinking, from going away, and that takes enthusiasm. We need to tell stories. We need to encourage people. Often that's all it is. That's what it was for me. I needed a little encouragement to discover my passion for flying.
Once again, Eric, thank you very much for coming on. It's a pleasure meeting you. And to all the people listening, keep flying.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm back again for a few quick words before I sign off. In the next show, I will hopefully have for you some of my experiences flying a Columbia, actually. Columbia 350. Hopefully. I can't promise anything. It may not work out. But if it does work out, I'll share that experience with you. And if it doesn't work out, I'll share something else with you. Of course, we'll have another History of Aviation segment. This time I will probably look at Piper aircraft, as I tend to favor the Piper aircraft. I happen to like them a great deal. And that's pretty much it. We may have another interview with another passenger of mine, or possibly even one of the students that I'm mentoring, if I can swing that. But if not, then we won't. Otherwise, what we will do is I will probably have a few interviews with actual airline pilots, as I will be flying to Europe later on in June, and can always interview somebody at the airport, which is always fun. So, hang in there, keep flying, and, you know, above all, just remember, no one's ever collided with the sky. It's perfectly safe to hop in a small airplane and take a trip. So keep flying, and that's it. Once again, thank you for listening to The Private Pilot. I'll be back in the next episode.